From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
I got it right this time. 100% accurate. Correct. So kudos to Hollywood, I guess. They'll screw it up next year, though. And I'm sure they'll screw up quite a few other things, too, along the way. Hell yes, Mr. Rob Roop. It's me, Mike. Mike Davidson Lives is the name of the podcast. Thanks for hanging out and downloading as I talk about this, that, and a few other things here in the next half hour. Glad you can join me and get to the award show I didn't watch here in just a few moments. And I don't have to. I don't have to sit through the 3-4 hour hand job that Hollywood gives itself every year at the Oscars, but do have some comments about a very deserving win for Christopher Nolan and company here in just a few moments. But, okay, my daughters are growing up way too fast. And with growing up, there comes a lot of disappointment. Your childhood gets shattered a little bit here and there. Happened Saturday. Was out doing a little running around with both Lana and Hazel. They wanted to go to McDonald's, and there's that McDonald's here in town with the playground. So they were good, and I was going to make do on my promise, but as I was pulling into the parking lot, I noticed, hey, there's a construction fence with some stuff inside said fence, and as I round the corner, they have the playground shuttered off. It looks like they're tearing that bad boy down. And Lana was just devastated. She wanted to meet new friends and everything, so I thought I'd try to find another one, and lo and behold, this McDonald's also didn't have a playground, so we just decided to go in and eat. But McDonald's, I don't know, there has to be a IDAFG, or I don't give a, you know what I'm trying to say. These don't give a shit. There we go. About things. Because we sat down and we ordered, and my daughters both got Happy Meals. The boxes are Warner Brothers DC Comics themed, right? You know, you have Bugs Bunny hanging out with Superman. You got Batman with the Scooby-Doo Mystery Gang and everything. But the toy inside their meal was the Rock character from Thor: Love and Thunder, a movie that came out 2 years ago. Yeah, that's right, a Disney Marvel toy inside a box promoting Warner Brothers and DC Comics. Good luck there. Doesn't look half-assed at all. Back in radio, we'd just say, you know, cleaning out the promotions closet, and that's what basically McDonald's is doing with Happy Meals. And on top of that, I think I've had the shittiest French fries I've ever had in my life. And how do you screw up French fries? Well, if they're more salt than potato, that's how you do it. And kudos to McDonald's here in town, or one of them did. I'm a dude that can put away a meal. I had to, like, farm out my fries to both Lana and Hazel. It was a team effort to choke these down. They didn't seem bothered by it, but it hurt. And French fries should not hurt when you eat them. If I was to go back there again, I would need a defibrillator to get through it. But it was not. I mean, I love hanging out with my daughters, but that meal was the absolute worst. So next time, something else. Dairy Queen, Pizza Hut, I don't care. By the way, my daughter also, like, we were running around today. Me and Lana, we were getting trying to get gas, and we passed a liquor store. She's 6 years old, okay? I don't talk to her about booze. But she pointed at it. She goes, "I'm never going to go in there." And I kind of was like, "Oh, well, why is that?" She goes, "That's where they sell alcohol. And if I grow up, Grandma says, if she's no longer with me and she's looking down from heaven, and she sees me go in there, she's going to come down and slap me." And I just immediately cringed. Look, I told her, look, if you're a responsible adult, it's not my business what you do, but in the meantime, you're not to touch booze until you're 21. But I don't think that's going to be a concern right now because, again, she's 6. But it's just one of those things, like, I'm trying hard not to pass on my own neuroses, and I have to worry about both my wife's mom and my parents anytime they're around our kids, passing along their neuroses. And we're trying to, like, be that circuit breaker where it's like, okay, if you can't pick up on one set of bad habits, I think we'll be okay. If we can minimize it to like the to both me and my wife's bad habits, I think we'd be fine. But I don't know. It's just, why would this come up with a 6-year-old is my question. But as weird as that was, I love her dearly. I love Lana dearly. I love Hazel dearly. And I love my little bub Logan dearly. All three kids are a blessing. And this was something I thought about after last podcast when I was talking about the environmental wackos down in Australia. I think it was Melbourne. They blocked the bridge because they're trying to make people aware of, air pollution and all that crap. So, they get cars idling. And that one woman's trying to get to the hospital and she gives birth in her car. It's a nerve-wracking moment for her, the hubby. And, of course, she's okay, the baby's okay, but that's just such a tense situation. You got to get to the hospital. And I thought more about this after the podcast. Both my daughters, Lon and Hazel, each are rainbow babies. And if you don't know what the term means, it's they are babies that are conceived and are born after a miscarriage. So my wife and I have experienced 2 miscarriages. And there were some times during the pregnancies with Lana and Hazel that we thought there were complications. Fortunately, there were not. Both girls are very healthy, very loud. But, both times we had to get to the hospital. And then we're coming up on a 1-year anniversary of my young son, Logan, just, almost 2 years old. He had a febrile seizure. He was real sick, and he actually had a seizure and had trouble breathing. In fact, he stopped breathing at one point. He was okay after the seizure, but they took him to the hospital anyway. But, I broke all sorts of speeding laws, speed limits, to get to the hospital to make sure he was okay. And he's all right. He's going to be 3 here in a couple months. But that's the thing about these protests is, there's that urgency of what they want other people to see. And I was thinking about, in moments of crises that my wife and I have experienced with our own family, with our children, how just criminal that would be for any such protest to be happening on the road. That's not privilege. That's love, okay? That's a love for another human being. And having unconditional love for your kids is the best. It's also very scary. And to hell with anybody that gets in the way with that. Your message is not as important as my family's well-being. And so that was something else I was thinking about. And it made me even more sympathetic to that young couple down in Australia. Who, again, their kid's doing a hell of a lot better. All right. Also, I had this... not to be abrupt in gear changing, but this happened. You remember Cam Newton kicking ass a few weeks back? He's got on video, 3 guys tried to jump him. He didn't necessarily, beat them down, but it was more, defensive moves. He was just, fending him off. I don't know what the situation was behind it. Well, Cam Newton, 40% of all Americans, has his own podcast. And I guess he opened up his podcast, a week and a half ago, addressing the situation, and he just said, hey, look, I let my temper get the best of me. I shouldn't have done what I done. I'm sorry. And I, in this age of outrage and all that and phony apologies, I actually liked it because it sounded like Cam Newton apologizing. In fact, it was Cam Newton apologizing. It wasn't some 5th-year poli-sci major writing a phony baloney PR apology that says, I'll do better in the future, or some crap like that. It's just like, hey, I did something stupid, and I'm sorry. And I think the best apologies are always those that you don't ask for. But I don't know if he's got much to apologize for, just because, again, these guys thought they could take a guy who's 6'5", 240 pounds, and dresses like a Batman villain. Oh, and he's got some NFL experience, so he might be a tad bit tougher than they are. Maybe. Kudos to Cam for owning up to it and actually doing it in a way that most humans would do it, talking like a human. So, 3 episodes in, Shogun on Hulu. FX, I'm loving it. I told my dad about it on the phone this evening. He's still weary about watching it because he didn't want it to be, quote, woke. I guess like in some of the promotions for the show, it made the female lead to look like a superhero, one of those type of things. I'm happy to say, I mean, she's got a very important role in the show, but it's not like a superhuman take on Shogun. It's not like it's overtly PC. But it's if they change gears in the middle of the show, it would be disappointing. So I can understand his apprehension. I mean, I got burned with Westworld. The first season was great. Everything afterwards sucked. But Shogun is very good. I mean, it talks about... the show's basically this sailor, this English sailor who gets thrust into this world of betrayal and political intrigue in feudal Japan about 1600. You know, involves the English versus the Portuguese, Japanese feudal lords with some infighting, Protestantism against Catholicism, East versus West. I mean, this is far more educational than any C-SPAN broadcast or Aaron Sorkin television show. It's like The Godfather and a little bit of My Fair Lady meets samurai swordplay. Really loving the show so far. I hope it continues down this path, and I hope that I'm still raving about this thing here in about 7 weeks, because it's a 10-episode run, if I'm not mistaken. We'll see. It's good television right now. I didn't watch television this evening because, you know me, I don't like award shows. I don't like the glad handing and everything, but I am glad that Christopher Nolan finally getting his due from an industry that he has more than once bettered with his efforts. Oppenheimer winning 7 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor for Cillian Murphy, Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr. Let's see, what else we got? Best Score, Best Cinematography, and Best Editing. I think Poor Things came in with 5. I was wrong-ish about Poor Things, because I did make mention that I thought it could win Best Picture and kind of shock the world, but it didn't. I was actually shocked that Hollywood went with one of its bigger hits this summer. But, I mean, Poor Things did steal a lot of Barbie's feminist thunder. And it was apparent tonight because Barbie only won the 1 Oscar for Best Original Song with Billie Eilish mumbling something. Oppenheimer did very well. Glad to see it. When I saw it, I thought both Murphy and Downey were going to be in the Oscar conversations for sure, and I was right. And again, they blew it out of the park, both those guys. Very interesting article about Christopher Nolan I was just reading. He actually did this movie at a reduced rate and decided to take more of a percentage on first dollar earnings for Oppenheimer. Like, I think he, like 15%. So he made this big blockbuster for under $100,000. This thing ends up making $950 million in theaters, right? It's not quite $1 billion, but did very well. And he himself made $72 million before taxes alone on this thing. You know, he and his wife, Emma Thomas, they produced this movie. And I was just looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, why aren't more studios encouraging more directors to do what Christopher Nolan is doing? I'm not saying you have to make movies just like he does in terms of story or whatever, because you know you need diversity in terms of storytelling. I'm not talking about DEI diversity. I'm talking about overall just different stories. Don't rip off somebody, okay? But the fact that he was able to make such a huge profit for Universal and make a big blockbuster for a fraction of the budget that The Flash or Dial of Destiny had, and those movies bombed, that says something. That says what the problem is in Hollywood. It's you can make more with less. And he did this without CGI, a lot of it. And it looks like a great movie. And it is a great movie. So I'm glad to see that he's getting his due here. Big night for him in Tinseltown. But by the way, I guess Al Pacino kind of effed up some stuff tonight because he was up there announcing Best Picture overall. And they have 10 nominees now for Best Picture. And instead of announcing all 10 nominees, he goes, it looks like Oppenheimer. Yeah, Oppenheimer. You won. And so some people were kind of bitching about that. But, I mean, look, he's 83 years old, Al Pacino. He has no business being up on stage announcing nominees. He should be out there running for president of the United States, okay? Come on, that's what all the old people are doing. All right, so moving away from the award show circuit, we probably don't have to worry about this or, you know, pretend to care about this for a bit. NFL's preseason or postseason or pre-preseason, basically free agency, monkeying with rosters, drafting, all that stuff gets underway this week. Drafting gets underway in April, but Russell Wilson, who bombed spectacularly in Denver, 2 seasons of nothingness, he is now a free man, expected to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. He'll be their starting quarterback, and as one Steelers fan noted online, let's weld. An obvious dig at the let's ride quote he said when he first signed on with Denver and nothing happened. It astounds me. This guy was part of a Super Bowl winning team. He could have been a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. What do you think happens with this guy's legacy if he flounders in Pittsburgh? There's got to be a little pressure on him to find his rhythm, right? Especially when he's in the same division with the Ravens and the Bengals, and the Browns were surprising this year. I don't know if the Browns are going to be just as surprising next year because, you know, Deshaun Watson depends on how loose and relaxed he feels. So he can work out all that tension. But very competitive division, AFC North, and for Russell Wilson to go there, oh boy. All right, so David Draymond, Disturbed. Kind of an interesting guy. Recent performance, he talked about how, like, he is anti-Hamas. And for some odd reason, this is controversial. He says, you know, he's all about life, and those dudes are all about death. And I don't think that's wrong at all. He's Jewish, for crying out loud. I mean, he's proud of his heritage, and he's not blind to what's going on. A lot of the shit going on right now would not have happened if October 7th didn't happen, which was the largest terrorist attack outside of 9/11 in recent memory. And Hamas did that. And for the people are just like, well, this is all about free Palestine. What was I looking at earlier today? Amsterdam in Denmark, they opened up a Holocaust Remembrance Museum. And outside this opening for this museum, you had a bunch of people protesting free Palestine, free Palestine. I've been told countless times that Israel and Judaism are 2 separate things. They're not protesting Judaism. But they're certainly protesting outside the Holocaust Museum here. So it is an act of bravery for someone like Dave Draymond to say that, because it just doesn't seem like a very popular thing to say right now. Which, just mind-boggling. I wouldn't have thought that 10 or 15 years ago that would be a controversial thing to say, but it is. Speaking of controversy, Doritos, and I forget who this person is. I've never heard of this person before. Doritos almost pulled a Mulvaney here. In fact, they practically got the ink put on paper for a Mulvaney to happen, and they quickly tore it up because they found out that... anyway, in Spain, they hired a trans activist, which is means, you know, person who's transgendered, to be their spokesperson. And then some old tweets of this transgendered person surfaced where this person was talking about doing some very bad things to a 12-year-old. And then they're like, oh, okay, our bad, we can't use you. You would think in this day and age where you can look up tweets and social media posts with reckless abandon and humiliate people, not necessarily saying I want every corporation to go out and humiliate people, but that this would be a glaring red flag and people in HR or in the PR firms, anybody involved with publicity would see this and say to themselves, well, we can't have other people see this and associate us with this. But that's not what happened, is it? No. It only became a thing when other people noticed. So they had to get rid of this trans activist who wanted to do terrible things to a 12-year-old. Now, will there be any fallout like what happened with Bud Light? It's kind of hard to say. Because this is over in Spain. And granted, this is an international company, big here in the United States. I don't know if it's going to get much play here stateside. In Europe, well, you know how Europe is, so okay, whatever. But the fact that they're doing this shit a year after Dylan Mulvaney, and they're doing it with somebody who looks to be much, 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 much worse than Dylan Mulvaney, tells you there aren't any lessons being learned here. And that's pretty unfortunate. Okay, saw this last week. North Face, big outdoor company, right? Yeah, outdoor company. That's what I'm trying to say. They're getting some pushback from customers because they have DEI training for customers. If you take an hour survey talking about white privilege and how it's being outdoors is oppressive to black people or something, you get a 20% discount. The only thing that's keeping anybody from going outdoors is trying to buy North Face equipment, okay? You don't need to buy expensive camping equipment to get outdoors. You just have to, find a city park trail and do that. Anybody can do that. That's not keeping people from being outdoors. And what North Face doesn't realize is that if you're looking to get outdoors, you're looking to get away from everybody. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter. You're just looking to get away and be by yourself. That's the whole point about being outdoors is. This is, and here's the other thing too. If you are so hard up for a discount and you're sitting through this thinking, man, this is a win-win for me, why do you think North Face is asking you to take this survey? To fill out personal information here. What's the gain for North Face or whoever is asking or telling them to do this? Not to be a conspiracy nut or, Big Brother, but this isn't just because they care, okay? It's because there's something else afoot. I don't know what that is, but this is laugh-worthy. And if you really want to save money, instead of 20%, you can save 100%. By not shopping at North Face. Again, you can go hiking anywhere. You could go biking anywhere. I don't understand this, only white people go outside thing. It's ridiculous. All right, here's something. I saw this earlier today. I guess Haiti is basically in chaos. It's always been in chaos, but now they got the streets being run by gangs. There's reports of cannibalism. I'm not sure how accurate that is because, there was reports of cannibalism at the Superdome during Hurricane Katrina, and that turned out to be very overblown by our media, but it does not look good for that country. And it sucks for a lot of people over there because they've never had a good run. But here's the rub. That country is being overrun by cannibal gangs, according to our media, right? And nobody over here is really talking about it. It's not like I had to really go look for this. It was not in my feed, Oscar coverage or NCAA coverage this evening. I had to go look for this, and it was just kind of crazy. I know what I'm saying is kind of bizarre because I'm talking about another country. It's not part of the United States, but this sounds like actual insurrection in Haiti, in a country in our hemisphere, right? Actual insurrection. Their leader is stuck in Puerto Rico. safe as all get out. And here we are, a country that we were told insurrection was happening 4 years ago. For one day, for a couple hours, because some guy in a big bull hat, moose hat, whatever, stood at the podium. There's actual insurrection going on in this country that's not too far off from our country. Not that we have anything to worry about, but we're not hearing anything about it. It's kind of interesting. You know, and it's right next door to the Dominican Republic, too, which is kind of a touristy place. But, you know, when there's chaos, there's a vacuum. And when there's vacuum, it's kind of interesting to see what gets sucked in there. So what will happen with Haiti? Who knows? By the way, another scientist is out there. I got this linked up on the Mike Davidson Facebook page, warning us about the dangers of, oh no, AI. He's a futurist, and he says that here in the next 3 to 8 years, AI could be even smarter than us. Blows my mind that we have had movies such as 2001 Space Odyssey, Terminator, The Matrix, Blade Runner. We've had all these movies with artificial intelligence, robots becoming just as smart, if not smarter than us. And these are movies watched by nerds. Science is dominated by nerds. And yet these nerds look at this as like an instruction manual and not a warning, not a prophecy. Oh, but I haven't done it yet. Okay, what's the worst that can happen? Yeah. So, yeah, go read that and just get it. This is why nerds get shoved into lockers, man. Because I think there's this primitive underlying feeling amongst, you know, meatheads that this nerd is up to something no good, even if the nerd is not really up to anything bad. It's just that, oh, he's got the air of being smart. He's going to kill us all. That's what's going on, so we need to shove more people into lockers, I guess. No, we don't need to do that. That's bullying, and bullying is wrong, and trying to kill a bully is wrong as well. Did you hear about this mom in Texas? Her son's sports streak kept getting stolen by this bully. So to teach this bully a lesson, she had her son take another drink to school. Bully swiped it, drank it, had to go to the ER with a sore stomach. Apparently this sports drink contained a lot of vinegar and salt. Yeah, no, that doesn't stop anything. This is a case of a helicopter parent. Yeah, you want to protect your kids all the time, and you love your kids dearly. But your kid's got to stand up for himself or herself eventually and stand their ground on some shit. And for you to step in and do something that's totally illegal, yeah, that's not teaching them anything. And they might have a stepmom here in a couple years because you went and did that. All right, finally, I think I want to wrap this up. This could be a country song here. This could be a country song here. Let's start here. Okay, so this is out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And this could be a ballad type of song. And let me describe this here. So a man with a one-of-a-kind first name was taken into custody after an alleged disturbance in Green Bay, according to a criminal complaint obtained by local news there. He was arrested following an incident involving a gun March 5th. Officers were sent to the address of the reported disturbance. When officers got there, two people were brought into a squad car, placed in the back. Additionally, officers took the man into custody with a questionable name. He was reportedly standing outside with no shirt on. Note that. The complaint says the man appeared to be highly intoxicated, but he did not follow follow the officer's commands. It's always mentioned that authorities identified Noel, this man, by his Wisconsin ID card. And this man's name is D's Nuts Lee Kroll. His first name is D's Nuts. And he's standing around shirtless. He just sounds like the type of guy that would go to the BMV and ask for his name to be changed to D's Nuts. The two people who were originally brought in the squad car said that they were arguing with D's Nuts over the phone around 8. 2 hours later, around 10, they found the door to the residence was locked. They were arguing with D's Nuts over the phone. One person said that D's Nuts opened the door and punched them in with a closed fist in the shoulder. This led to a physical altercation, and now assault charges are being filed. D's Nuts Lee Kroll. Yeah, if when he gets to prison, they will change his name to Deadass Lee Kroll. And with that all said and done, I'm done. Till next time, stay fresh.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @DavidsonLives.